Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Kneeling at her bedside, Jairus took his daughter's fevered hand. He grimly stared at her pale face as she struggled to breathe. There was little hope left now. Rest hadn't helped her. Doctors couldn't heal her. Prayers seemed to go unanswered. She was only 12 years old, but his daughter was dying, and there wasn't anything that he could do about it. His wife came and touched Jairus on the shoulder. He looked up into her sad eyes. "It's time to find him," she said. Tears began to stream down his face. He knew she was right. There was no time left for his little girl. It was time to find this Galilean named Jesus. Being a ruler of a local synagogue, Jairus had heard people talking about this Jesus of Galilee. Word of his miracles had reached even all the way out there. He had heard of deeds like making the lame walk, driving out demons, even healing the sick. And that's what he needed for his daughter. Someone who could heal the sick. But were they just stories? Mere tricks to convince crowds? His friends at the synagogue seemed to think so. They had told him that any time a learned rabbi or Pharisee tried to see what he was doing, Jesus chased them away, calling them hypocrites. If Jairus were to go out looking for this Jesus, it would cost him a lot of respect from his fellow synagogue rulers. It cost him friendships that had been developed over years of work. He'd be looked down upon for the rest of his life. That was a lot to give up for a small hope. But for his little girl, even a small hope was worth that immense shame. Jairus got up and dried the tears from his eyes, kissed his daughter on the forehead. It may very well be the last time that he could do that. He embraced his wife. "I'll find him," he told her, lacing up his sandals and taking up his bag. He set out. Twelve years this woman had suffered. 12 years she had bled. She'd been considered unclean the whole time, which meant that she wasn't allowed to go anywhere. She couldn't be around anyone. The law set down by God Himself forbade it. Might as well have been a death sentence. Because life was impossible enduring this disease. She too had heard of Jesus. She too thought it would be a good idea to go and see if he lived up to everything that they said about him. But she also knew that the crowds around him were thick, and there would never be a chance to go and see him legally. Anyone she touched would be made unclean as well. What else was she going to be able to do? There was no other option. And so she too risked everything. She hoped the crowds would never know, figured that all she had to do was touch his clothes and that would work. Jesus, after all, was supposed to be powerful. Surely it wouldn't take that much power to heal just her. I mean, it wouldn't even be noticed, would it? And then she'd be clean. Everything would be okay. She wouldn't be breaking the law anymore. People could bump into her without fear. She could interact with others once again. And this is the only way that she could see left that this would ever happen. The physicians hadn't done anything. Her prayers seemed to go unanswered. This was all she had left. So she got up, laced up her sandals, and took her bag and set out. When Jairus finally met this Jesus of Galilee, he wasted no time with pleasantries, no time with position, no time with pride. He fell at Jesus' feet like a poor beggar, not knowing if his pleas would even be heard, not knowing if they would matter even if they were. But there was nothing left to try, nowhere else left to turn. Jesus was the only hope he had left. "My little daughter is dying," he said to Jesus. "Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be saved and live." Jairus felt a hand rest on his shoulder. He looked up to see Jesus. Jesus nodded his head. He would go. And go they did. But the crowd surrounding Jesus, packed in tightly, grabbing at his clothes, made going impossible. Jairus' heart began to sink. How could Jesus possibly make it in time to save his little girl moving at this rate? She was close, so close. She had almost made it to Jesus. The crowds were worse than she expected, and she tried to avoid touching anyone, but it wasn't possible now. He was right there. Only somebody else was already at his feet. He was asking Jesus to go with him, and Jesus had agreed. "No, this can't be right." She'd taken such an enormous risk to even be here. "Jesus can't leave on me now. Everything would be lost unless Jesus heals her today." So she did the only thing she could. She pushed through the whole crowd. She reached out for Jesus and caught the hem of his garment. It worked. It actually worked. She could feel that something changed. The blood stopped. She had indeed been made well. The moment was so clear, so powerful, that it felt like time itself had stopped. It was only the words of Jesus that brought her back to reality. "Who touched my garments?" And his eyes met hers. He knew. She had taken his power from him, and he knew. She had fought through the fear of touching others, the fear of breaking the law, the fear of being found out. But Jesus, eye to eye, was more frightening than anything else ever had been. She fell at his feet and told him the whole truth. Told him her sin. Because it was sin after all. The law was not just a man-made ordinance made there to put women down. It had been spoken to Moses by the Lord himself for the welfare of all. Likewise, she had planned to take Jesus' power no matter what it cost anyone else, no matter what it cost herself. And the very same desperation she had used to justify all her actions now condemned her. And she's told Jesus. And in that confession of sin, you know what Jesus did? He took her by the hand, lifted her to her feet, and said, "Go in peace. Your faith has made you well." What was the faith? That Jesus could heal? Even the Pharisees knew Jesus could heal, but they kept saying that it wasn't the power of God, it was the power of Beelzebul. That wasn't faith. That Jesus is the right person to go to? The crowds knew that. Got their healing, went home, didn't think about him again. That wasn't faith. That she confessed her sin. That was fear, not faith. Now, the faith didn't come from her. The faith came from the very words that Jesus spoke. Your faith, he had said. And there it was. Jesus spoke true faith into existence and gave it to her. Jesus had stopped and was talking to some woman. Jairus was frustrated. Didn't he know that there wasn't time to delay? His daughter was on the brink of death any moment. Only, no, she wasn't. Jairus heard his name called out, and ahead of him were the elders from his synagogue. There was only one reason they would come looking for him. Only one reason for them to run after him, to find him all the way out here. Your daughter is dead, they said. So why bother this teacher anymore? Why, Jesus, why didn't you come? Why didn't you save her? Why did you waste your time talking with that woman over there who was grabbing at your clothes? You were so busy having mercy on everyone else that you didn't take the time to have mercy on me. And in the midst of that all-encompassing darkness, that darkness beyond night, came a ray of light. A hand to grab onto. A lone voice. It was Jesus. Don't be afraid, he said. Just believe. You, Jairus, believe. Jairus didn't know if he could do that. Despite Jesus' words, he was still very much afraid. He was still overcome with doubt. But Jesus' words gave him that hand to hold on to. And with that hand came hope. The crowds were left behind, and only a few of Jesus' closest friends came along. And as soon as they reached Jairus' home, they opened the doors and saw all the mourners gathered together. His wife was there wearing her funeral clothes, eyes red and puffy from crying. Hope got really tough to hold on to now, because he knew that his daughter had really died. His little girl that he had loved so much. Maybe the hope of Jesus isn't enough. To make things worse, Jesus opens his mouth, told the crowds, "Why all the commotion and wailing? Child's not dead, but asleep." Only a fool would believe that was possible. And the people who were there laughed at him, laughed at Jesus. But they weren't just laughing at Jesus. They were also laughing at Jairus. What kind of father leaves his dying daughter to find this loon? What kind of fool looks for a man whom the other synagogue rulers and Pharisees call a fraud? What kind of man puts his trust in something as unbelievable as a miracle worker? Jairus had lost his daughter, along with his friends, his position, his honor, and the respect of his neighbors. all of it was gone. He had nothing now. And as Jesus chased out his friends and family, Jairus went to his little girl's side and stood there, too numb to cry, given up so much. For what? When Jesus came up and took her hand, Jairus wanted to stop him, wanted to shout, "Haven't you created enough problems already?" But couldn't bring himself to do anything at all. His wife and all three of Jesus' disciples came in around them and watched silently. Jairus remembered Jesus' words. "Don't be afraid," he had said. "Just believe," he had said. It was Jesus' words that had brought him this far, but Jairus didn't think he could believe anymore. Not by himself, not alone. His own reason and strength were not enough. But it wasn't up to Jairus' feelings. Because Jesus, still holding the little girl's hand, said to her in Aramaic, "Talitha kumi." And at Jesus' word, Jairus' daughter lived again. At Jesus' word, she sat up, swung her legs over the side of the bed, and stood up. Seeing her father, she smiled her big smile and wrapped her arms around him. Jesus' word didn't just bring Jairus' daughter back to life. Jesus' word brought Jairus back to life as well. Shame was turned to honor. Grief was turned to joy. We too face times when we think that Jesus is leaving. We too face times when we think Jesus just doesn't seem to get a move on. And it costs us everything that we hold dear. And we wonder why. We wonder what he could possibly be thinking. But just like the woman who bled, just like with Jairus, just like with Jairus' 12-year-old daughter, Jesus takes our hand when our work, our effort, our trying to believe all by ourselves isn't enough. Jesus takes your hand and gives you faith. Jesus takes your hand and takes away your sin. Jesus takes your hand and leads you home. Jesus takes your hand and gives you life. Just because Jesus hasn't answered your prayer this moment doesn't mean that Jesus isn't going to answer it. And just because Jesus isn't done having mercy on everyone else doesn't mean that his resurrection isn't coming. As pressing as everything is that we deal with in this life, there is nothing so pressing that it isn't answered on the last day in Christ's resurrection. But to get us through to that day, Jesus takes us by the hand even now. Gives us comfort and peace now. Just takes your hand and puts in it his own body for you to eat. Puts his own blood for you to drink. A promise, a testament naming you as an heir of heaven through the forgiveness of your sin. It's there where he says, "Go in peace. Do not fear. only believe. And little child, I say to you, arise. It's there where he takes you by the hand and walks with you the whole way. That's his promise, his gift to you. Thanks be to God. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus always. Amen. We continue with hymn number 739.